Well, I want to welcome you today to Trinity Church's online service. I'm so glad that you're able to join with us today. If you happen to have a Bible with you there at home, I want to invite you to open it up to the book of Matthew, which is the first book in what we refer to as the New Testament. And in just a little bit, we're going to look at some scripture in chapter 13. As you're kind of making your way there, let me tell you about a story that I discovered this week while doing some research. It dates back to 1986, and it was published in the Los Angeles Times. And it was in reference to a gentleman by the name of Roy Wettstein, who was a gems dealer. It turned out Roy had traveled to Arizona to go see some extended family members, and while there, went to a mineral show. And while everyone was kind of moving to the tables with all the polished gems, Roy decided that he would go to the unpolished gems to try to find a deal. So he started looking through the Tupperware bowls and looking to see what was available. And he came across a stone that was being overlooked by everyone else because it didn't appear as nice as the others. So Roy had a conversation with the dealer and he worked him down from $15 to $10 to purchase this, what he described as a potato-looking gem. Now, to the dealer, it was just that. It was an unpleasant-looking gem, only worth apparently $10. But it turned out Roy knew exactly what it was, and that was a 1,905-carat star sapphire, while in uncut form, and was appraised at $2.28 million. So not too bad of a find for $10. You know, as I was reading that story, I wondered how many people looked at that uncut gem and didn't see what it truly was, right? They just bypassed it looking for the prettier ones, the ones that kind of stuck out to them, and they missed what Roy understood was a treasure. Now, if you are joining with us for the first time here at Trinity Church, we're in the midst of a series in which we are unpacking what we refer to as the parables of Jesus. Now, if you're not familiar with a parable or what a parable is, it is simply this. It is a fictitious story told to reveal specific truths. In his book, The Parables, Jewish Tradition and Christian Interpretation, the author Brad Young writes that a parable is, quote, a concrete illustration that reaches the heart through the imagination. You know, throughout his public ministry, Jesus used the art of storytelling to reveal truths. Truths about God, truths about this world, truths about you and me, and about the life to come. And in Matthew chapter 13, what we discover is that Jesus tells a set of parables in which he says that the kingdom of God is like a discovered treasure. So why don't you join me, Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse number 45. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one great pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, here in just three short verses, we read two parables. And while these parables may be short, the message that they reveal is really more life-changing than the news that Mr. Wettstein received when he found out his $10 investment was actually worth $2.28 million. Now, when we're first introduced to these twin parables, we're introduced to two different individuals. The first is a person who happens to discover a treasure in a field. It doesn't appear that this person was actually looking for the treasure, but somehow accidentally maybe discovered it. Well, the second parable is different. And in that one, what we see is a merchant who's searching for pearls. So we have these two stories with these two characters, one searching and one not, but they both discover a treasure. Listen to what commentator Young says about this very thing. He says, the parable involves everyone in the audience. One person will identify with the man who finds the treasure, and another with the merchant who finds the pearl. The wide appeal of the illustration reaches out to involve all people, the poor and the rich, as well as those who find without a search and those who seek diligently to get what they want. So what we have here is these parables opening with these two different characters, which really represent different types of people. And what it's revealing to us is this, is that the kingdom will be discovered by all sorts of different types of people. Meaning this, that the kingdom is not closed to anyone. Some will find it while searching. Some will find it while not searching. But multiples will. You know, as I look back on my own life of when I became a follower of Jesus when I was 20, really, I could be classified as that one who was searching. I was in a season in life in which I was really wrestling with things like identity and purpose. You know, is life more than just going to work, paying bills, and trying to have fun in between, right? Was there more? So I started asking questions. I started talking to people. I started reading books on philosophy and religion. And in that search, I had an experience in which I can only describe as supernatural, in which in that experience, I came to believe that Jesus was not just a spiritual guru who lived 2,000 years ago or a character in a religious text, but I came to believe that Jesus was and is God in the flesh, and that he, in fact, did raise from the grave after being crucified. You know, I left that experience or that moment in my life in awe, it transformed, changed. And while I didn't know much about the Christian faith, I couldn't recite to you any passages really in the Bible. What I did know this is that because of this discovery, my life was never going to be the same again. And really, it hasn't. When the individuals in the parables, when they discover the treasure, right, they're filled with joy. They're filled with joy. Matter of fact, they're so overwhelmed by their discovery that they do something very interesting. They sell everything that they have so they can obtain it. You know, when we think of finding treasure, what we tend to do is we tend to think of it as just simply taking it, kind of a finder's keepers. But that's not what happens in these parables, right? They don't just find the treasure and take it, but it costs them. And it costs them everything. Now, I want to explain that to you in just a second, but I want to make this point very clear. Yes, it costs them everything, but it was a price that they were more than willing to pay. Right? They come across this treasure and they realize this thing is worth more than everything else. You know, Jesus tells us these parables that they're in regards to God's kingdom, right? That's how Jesus opens these parables. So we can think of it this way, that these parables are really about becoming part of God's family, about what we refer to as salvation. Now, the good news of the gospel is this, that Jesus secured our redemption by going to the cross and dying in our place. And that because of what Jesus has done, we can be saved from our sins, from the consequences of our sins, and we can know the hope of eternal life with Jesus because of the work that Jesus has done. And Jesus didn't do this work because he owed it to us. He didn't do it because we deserved it. Jesus died in our place so we could be saved from our sins because of his love for us. It is all about Jesus's grace. which means this, that we don't have to earn God's forgiveness. We don't have to earn God's love. And there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves worthy of it. God loves us because he loves us. God gives us grace because he is gracious. So salvation is this beautiful gift, this gift that we can never earn, we can never achieve on our own, but is given to us by God. But here's the interesting thing. While it is a gift, it will cost us. And the price, what it will cost us is this, everything. It will cost us everything. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean that we can earn our salvation. That would go against the teachings of Scripture. What I mean is this, is that God wants all of us. God doesn't want a part of our life. He doesn't want to be just an extension of our life. He doesn't want to be, we live our life and we sprinkle some Jesus on top. Jesus wants everything. Jesus wants to be the center of our life, of which everything comes forth from. Really, you could think of it this way. Either Jesus is the center or Jesus is nothing. That's what he's hinting towards here, right? This is what the parable is talking about. They discover this treasure and they're so excited. They're so filled with joy that they're willing to sell everything. They're willing to give everything to have this treasure. For the church to have Jesus. Author Klein Snodgrass, in his works, Stories with Intent, a comprehensive guide to the parables of Jesus, he writes, "Our relation with God is the most important part of life. All of our other pursuits are trivial by comparison. More specifically, understanding what God has done in Christ and following Christ are more valuable than all else we possess or seek. God's call trumps all else in life, and it is worth it." Now, that doesn't mean that nothing else in life matters. I know that we hear things like that quote from Snodgrass, or maybe even the text so far, and right, we go, well, my family doesn't matter? Does nothing else matter? I'm not saying that. What it is that in comparison to knowing God's love, to receiving his grace, and to being a part of God's family, to be part of the kingdom of God, in comparison to that, everything else fails. That's what the characters in the parables understood. They understood that everything else in life failed in comparison to the treasure, to having the treasure, which we know is God. It's the kingdom of God. So what the parable is basically saying that the individuals are saying is they're going, you know what? I don't care about anything else. I just want this treasure. Let me put it in our vernacular, or what we would say today. What I want is Jesus. I don't care about everything else. I just want Jesus. You know, I wonder, when was the last time you felt that way about God? Now, maybe you're listening, you're tuning in today, and maybe you're still on the search, and maybe you haven't quite discovered the treasure yet. I mean, you're like I was many years ago, and you're searching and you're reading. And if that's you today, first of all, I want to just encourage you, and I want to encourage you to continue to search, continue to look in the Word of God and in the Bible and read and discover the kingdom and what Jesus has done for you. So I want you to be encouraged today. For those who are followers of Jesus, I would wonder, do you still see the beauty in the treasure, in the kingdom of knowing Jesus? Does your heart just say, like, I just want Jesus? You know, the reality is that over time, due to schedules and busyness and, you know, just all the things that we do in life, it's easy to lose that joy. It's easy to lose that excitement for God. And I think that what the parable is doing is it's calling us back. In the book of Revelation, this is referred to as losing our first love. And Jesus calls, there's a church that a letter is written to in the book of Revelation. And Jesus is calling this church because they've lost that excitement, that love, that zealousness for God. He says, return to the love that you once had. And I believe that that's God's call to the church today, is to rediscover that awe, that joy, that love for Jesus. And, you know, I think that how we get there, how we get back there, is through very deliberate action. When I was younger, I used to be really into lifting weights. And if you've ever been a part of weightlifting or maybe exercise, you know this, that there are days that you just don't feel like going to the gym. There were days I would come home from work and I would just go, I would much rather order a pizza, lay on the couch, and then go to bed. Last thing I wanted to do was go to the gym. But you know what I found was the days that maybe I didn't even feel like it, but I made a decision to do it. Those were usually the times when I had the greatest gain. Meaning this, I would put up more weight and I would be able to do more reps. I'd have my biggest gains. You know, I believe the same thing applies in regards to keeping our joy from God, for God. You know, we can't just say, all right, I'm going to be joyful. We have to make decisions that are going to lead us to a path of discovering joy. And that means we have to prioritize our relationship with God above all else. Because when we do that, when we prioritize, when we say, I'm going to choose to focus on knowing and being known by God, when we choose to focus on that instead of all the other things in life, what happens is we have spiritual gains. We grow closer to the Lord. Our joy increases. Our love for God increases. And we begin to see just how beautiful the gift is that He has given us of salvation. To be completely transparent, I had one of these moments just the other day. I knew I had a very packed schedule. I knew that my schedule was very tight of the things that I needed to get done in that day. And I came in the morning and my mind was already kind of thinking about those things. And I wanted to just start focusing on knocking those things out, if you will, right? Sending the emails, meetings, things of the sorts. But what I did was I said, nope, I'm going to be deliberate about spending time in prayer and reading God's word. And so that's what I did. And it was amazing because that morning I came across a text that I had read multiple times before, but it really spoke to me that morning. And it stuck with me. And it was a verse that I was thinking about all day long. And I actually shared it with some of our board members at a meeting that night. You know, what that was being deliberate. It was being deliberate of making my relationship with God a priority. And in that joy, that excitement returning. I believe that that is what God wants for the church today. In the work, The Parables of Jesus, the author writes, "The joy of discovering the kingdom is like the joy of finding a hidden treasure. It is due to the grace of God that has shone forth in the person and message of Jesus." God's grace is an amazing treasure. And we need to guard our hearts so that we don't allow other things in life to steal our joy and our excitement towards the Lord. Which leads me to the very last part of this parable. After the individuals, they discover this amazing treasure, and they're willing to sell everything to obtain that treasure. They then do exactly what they set out to do, and that is they buy it, they obtain it, they get the treasure for themselves. And what that means for us is this, is that when we become followers of Jesus, when we discover, when God reveals His grace, when God shows us the kingdom, this beautiful, amazing, precious gift. And we're willing to surrender all and to receive what God has for us. And we become followers of Jesus. Then we have to do just that. And that is follow Jesus wherever he takes us. Holtgren continues in his commentary, and he says, "It is most likely that the main thrust of the parable is that the disciple of Jesus responds to the kingdom with a commitment that risks all without reserve." Jesus wants us to follow him. And that means sometimes taking risks and even going into the unknown. You know, I wonder, what has God been laying on your heart that you've been afraid to engage? Is there anything that God's been speaking to you, that he's been showing you, an area that he's been calling you to, but there's been some fear, there's been some uncertainty, there's this risk involved that God is calling you to engage? You know, there's a million reasons why not to do these things. There's a million reasons why not to go to those places that are scary and the places that are unknown, if you will, right? They can even seem like the exact opposite of what the world tells us to do. But really, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. Our purpose isn't connected to the systems of this world, but to the kingdom of God. And those are the places where God wants to take us. Snodgrass, in his work, puts it this way. "This parable urges us to abandon what we thought was the focus of life and focus entirely on what God is doing with the kingdom." So you see, really, these parables, these twin parables that we find in Matthew's gospel, they're a call to see the kingdom of God for what it truly is, a treasure greater than anything in this world. And then to not just see the treasure, but to be willing to surrender everything to make that treasure our own. And that in that, as we engage, to follow God wherever he takes us. And what my prayer for you is that not only will you discover the kingdom, not only will you see the beauty of God's grace, but that you will receive it and that you will follow Jesus each and every day. Let me pray for you today. Father, we thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die for us, to go to the cross in our place, to redeem us from our sins, and to save us and give us the hope of eternal life that we don't deserve, but you give to us anyways. So Lord, we celebrate your grace today. We celebrate the freedom that we have in Jesus. Lord, we celebrate the beauty of the kingdom, this gift we have been given. But Lord, we also recognize that Jesus doesn't want to just be a part of our life, but he wants to be the center of our life, that which our life is built on. So Lord, help us to not lose the beauty of the kingdom, to not take for granted the grace that we have been given, but Lord, to focus on Jesus, to prioritize our time with him. And Lord, as we do that, may our hearts continue to grow in abundance of joy and celebration for the love and the grace that we have received. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone listening today, that Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them if they do not know you. And Lord, that they would discover the beauty of the kingdom, of the treasure. And Lord, that they would be willing to sell all in order to partake in it. Lord Jesus, if there is anything in our life that is hindering us from following you fully, God, would you please reveal it to us? And Lord, I thank you that you convict us of sin, not to condemn us, but to transform us. So Lord Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.